Timothy S. Miller is not going to be considered today. That was a conditional use for malt storage, processing, and sales, and boat and RV storage. The reason being that it needs to be re-advertised and re-noticed. So that will be done. It'll be reposted, re-advertised, and it'll be put back on another agenda. So if there's anybody here with an interest in conditional use number 1896 on behalf of Timothy S. Miller, that won't be considered this afternoon.
I did call the applicant, and I sent a letter to the neighbor that did speak in opposition. I couldn't find her phone number.
Okay.
Did that last week.
Okay. And it'll be reposted. As for the hearings this afternoon, when council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the matter requested by the applicant. I will announce each application, then the director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. The applicant will then be called on to present and explain its application and present reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant and its witnesses. After the applicant has presented its application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After any persons who are present in favor of the application, there will be an opportunity for those in opposition or with questions of the application to speak and state reasons for their application, or excuse me, for their opposition. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant and its witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front of the podium and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or an organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and I will make sure that it's part of the record. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, iPhone, BlackBerry, or any other kind of telephonic device with you, please take the time now to switch it off or turn it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. President, the first item on the agenda for public hearings this afternoon is conditional use number 1895, filed on behalf of Freedom Worship Center, Inc., and the title of the ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a B-1 neighborhood business district for a private school to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.71 acres, more or less. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on May 26 of 2011. During that public hearing, the Commission was provided with an exhibit booklet. The Council has a copy of the same. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District and the County Engineering Department. Glennis Gibson, attorney, and other representatives were present on behalf of the Freedom Worship Center Academy and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. The motion was by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On June 9th of 2011, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1895 for Freedom Worship Center Incorporated for a private school within a B1 neighborhood business district based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this project is for the redevelopment of a site that has been abandoned for many years. It was previously used as a nursing home. The redevelopment of this property will improve both the site and the neighborhood. Two, the proposed use as a school is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan 2008 update that references the need for more new schools and school expansions. Three, this site, which is currently zoned B1 neighborhood business, is appropriate for the location of a school. Four, the project with the conditions and limitations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties, the community, or traffic. Five, the use of the school is in accordance with the stated purposes for granting conditional uses, and it promotes the health, safety, welfare of the residents of Sussex County. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to the school project. And seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the site shall comply with all agency requirements, including DLDOT. Two, any lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Three, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. Four, the site shall be used for the school and any activities that are typically associated with a school of this size. And five, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0, with Mr. Johnson abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. Is there someone here on behalf of the applicant? Christian Berry, if you want to step forward.
This is Ken Christian Berry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. I would like to offer one small correction to your minutes, Mr. Lank. The paragraph that says they anticipate 12 students during the first school year, that's what they had last year. They actually are expecting closer to 30 this coming year. So they've had quite a bit of growth and interest in the school from the folks.
I didn't hear that stated. My correction.
Okay. Anyway, just like to point out that this project did have a petition with 16 signatures and support from neighboring property owners. The property has been in existence with the facility here for several decades. Other than renovations to the existing structures, they really don't want to do any new construction. This morning, I filed an application with DENREC to allow us to use the existing septic system. We didn't have that before Planning Commission because we had to have the records pulled from Dover's Microfish because apparently the septic system was built in 1974, but it's not showing any signs of any problems, and DENREC will, of course, review the existing system to make sure it is adequate before they authorize us to connect to it. The school would like to begin this August, and I know that that's a time frame that's going to be very difficult. We're doing all that we can on our end as far as when I was brought in to work with them on this property. If you have any questions, I believe our book is very straightforward. I could run through it, but I, in the interest of time, if you all would like to bring forth questions, I think that might be a more productive way to take a look at this project.
Anyone have any questions yet?
Do we have conditions? Did the planning and zoning put conditions on about the number of students? There's nothing about that in here, is it?
No, it wasn't a condition imposed by
the county. All right. So they can have as many as they can hold, I guess.
Okay. It's not a large parcel, and it's not a large buildings either.
Right.
Just two buildings there.
We do have here with us today the principal of the school. If you all would like to hear a little bit about the proposed operations, we'd be pleased to have her come up with Glennis Gibson, the attorney that's a member of the church and is representing the school as well.
Why not?
Okay. Certainly, Mr. Christopher. Mr. Christopher, one question just for the record.
Yes.
So it's clear the buildings that you're using are the buildings that exist there. It's a redevelopment of existing buildings.
Correct. They're simply cleaning up and refurbishing the buildings. There are photographs of the buildings in your booklets.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Glennis Gibson. I'm the attorney representing the applicant. My bar number is 3150. I'm with the firm of Gibson and Nowak. We're at 110 North Main Street in Camden, Delaware. This conditional use application is to have a former nursing home be utilized for the purpose of a private school. I have with me today Sue Fraketic, who is the director of the school. And Ms. Fraketic, can you give your...
I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Sue Fraketic, 17038 Deer Run, Milford, Delaware.
Ms. Fraketic, you are the director of the school?
That is correct.
And what is the current enrollment?
The current enrollment for this past year was 36 students.
And you are seeking to have this former nursing home utilized as a private school.
That is correct.
What are the grades that the school contains?
In the old nursing home building, that would be pre-K through grade 6, which would accommodate about 40 students. In the building next to the nursing home would be grades 7 through 12, which would accommodate about 20 students.
And what are the typical hours for the school?
From about 8 o'clock in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon.
And that's Monday through Friday?
Correct.
And when does your school year start for this year?
It starts Monday, August 29th.
And what would be the ending of the school year?
It is the last Friday in May before Memorial Day.
Would you use the property at all for sporting events?
We will not, except for, you know, possibly a gym class outside in recess, but other sporting events we have. But we use the Armory in Milford and the Milford Boys and Girls Club.
When did you first see this property?
Probably about 3 months ago.
And what was the condition of the property then?
Well, it had been vacant for a very long time, so there was a lot of garbage, very unkept.
And have you helped address that situation?
Yes, we've had. We had the teachers down and other volunteers that have cleaned up the property since.
And have you spoken to neighbors in the community?
Yes, we have. We have gone through and talked to all the neighbors on that Argos corner, and we either left a letter if they were not home that they could contact us if they had any questions, but it was all very positive feedbacks and because of that it was vacant and there was some negative activity going on there.
Thank you. I have no other questions for Ms. Fraketic. If you have any questions for us?
You must be a very nice job that you have. You look awfully happy.
Thank you.
Because school's out. That's
there you go.
Thank you, ladies. If you'll take a seat. Mr. Christenberry, does that conclude your presentation?
Try it.
It does. Council has any questions for us?
It doesn't appear there's any questions. Is there anyone in the audience in support of this application? There being none, is there anyone in the audience who is in opposition to this application? Again, it appears that there's none. With that, we'll, unless council wishes otherwise, we'll close the public hearing. And at this point,
well, does Mr. Lank feel that these conditions that we have on your memo here are sufficient?
They were provided by the commission.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't answer.
Sufficient to them.
Well, how about you?
That's fine. I don't have a problem. It appears that in the presentation of the public hearing that it's probably short-term, not long-term. If the school grows, then they will have to find other facilities because the land is not large enough to really mm-hmm. provide for the right. larger group.
Right?
Okay.
All right.
What's the pleasure of the council?
Read it.
I think we should read it.
Again, it's conditional use number 1895 filed on behalf of Freedom Worship Center, Inc., and the title of the ordinance being an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a private school to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.71 acres, more or less.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the conditions.
Second.
Moved in second. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, I'm going to vote yes on this. It would be a big improvement to the neighborhood. And I also would like to incorporate the Planning and Zoning Commission's reasons and the conditions that they offer.
Cool.
I'll vote yes. It's a redevelopment and for the same reasons that Mrs. Deaver cited.
I'll vote yes. It's a good application and useful to the community with the conditions.
I vote yes according to Planning and Zoning. And the motion has been passed.
4-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The next item on the agenda, as I mentioned, is conditional use number 1896, filed on behalf of Timothy S. Miller. Again, that one is not going to be acted on this afternoon and will be re-advertised and put on a later agenda. So the next item after that is conditional use number 1898, filed on behalf of Bruce Fisher. The title of that proposed ordinance being an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR-1 agricultural residential district for professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, containing 30,750 square feet, more or less. Mr. Mike?
Yes, thank you. This application, again, was reviewed on May 26, 2011 by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Commission was provided with a copy of the survey of the property, which I will provide to the council at this time. We received comments from the Department of Transportation, the Sussex Conservation District, and the County Engineering Department. They are a part of the report provided to the council from the commission. Bruce Fisher was present on behalf of his application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1898 for Bruce Fisher for a professional office based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use of the dentist and oral surgeon's office will serve the residents of Western Sussex County. Two, the applicant has consulted with the Nanticoke Memorial Hospital about coordinating his services with the hospital. Three, the location along U.S. Route 13 with access from Camp Road is appropriate for the use and it is consistent with the surrounding uses. Four, the use is of a public character and will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of residents of Sussex County. Five, the use will not have an adverse impact on traffic. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to the project. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to professional offices, specifically dental, medical, oral surgeon, or similar type of practice. Two, the office hours will be Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. In addition, emergency hours shall be permitted as necessary. Three, the entrance to the project shall be from Camp Road. The applicant shall also comply with all DLDOT requirements. Four, there may be two on-premise ground signs on the property, not to exceed 32 square foot in size. One sign shall be on Camp Road and one sign shall be on U.S. Route 13. Five, all narcotics shall be securely stored and maintained in accordance with all federal and state requirements. Six, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. And I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since the 26th.
This is all you received? Is this one drawn?
Yep, that's all. If the application is approved, it'll have to go back to the commission for more detailed parking lot schematic. The house is already there.
Okay.
It's a house that'll be converted to an office space.
Any other questions for Mr. Lang? Is there anyone here on behalf of this application? Sir, you'd come forward and introduce yourself to the council.
Good afternoon. My name is Bruce Fisher. My address is 33718 West Coates Road, Lewis, Delaware. I don't have much additional to add to what I presented at the Planning and Zoning Commission. I will say that dentistry and medical professions are in big need, especially in Western Sussex County. I'm sure that's not news to anyone here. I have spoken with Nanticoke Memorial Hospital regarding, you know, working with them in the future by putting an office in Western Sussex. For several years, I was on the Delaware State Board of the Executive Council of the Delaware State Board of Dentistry, and this was a common topic of discussion, the need for additional, especially dental services in Western Sussex County, and I would like to try and assist with those needs.
I imagine with the lack of reciprocity, that really creates a big need, doesn't it? In other words, Maryland dentists can't come over here and practice here.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation with any time, really, that you have a rural setting, it's difficult to get practitioners into that environment. Apparently there's a very large debate about reciprocity and whether or not that makes a difference. But it seems that hopefully my being present in Bridgeville will not only help the residents of Sussex County, but also some of those residents of the eastern portion of Maryland who currently have to go to Salisbury or wherever else to seek care. So,
Any other questions for Dr. Fisher? Thank you, Sheriff. You'll have a seat. We'll see if there's anybody else who wants to speak with regard to the application. Is there anyone here in support of conditional use number 1898 filed on behalf of Bruce Fisher? Seeing none, is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1898 filed on behalf of Bruce Fisher? Again, Mr. Wilson, it appears nobody's here in opposition or in favor of this application.
What is the pleasure of this council?
I would say read it, Mr. Wilson.
Okay.
Close the public hearing.
Close the public hearing, that's right. And I will read the title of the ordinance. It is, again, conditional use number 1898 filed on behalf of Bruce Fisher, and the title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, containing 30,750 square feet of land, more or less.
I'll make that motion to adopt it. I'm moving to adopt it.
I hear a second.
Second.
Is there any discussion before we vote?
It has been moved and seconded, Mr. Wilson, so if you want to ask for a vote of the council.
So we're going to take a vote, Joe?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, I like this. It's a good idea. I vote yes. It meets a need in the county. And I would like to mention that the Planning and Zoning Commission gave reasons and conditions, and I would like to incorporate those in my vote.
George?
I'll vote yes. It's located in a town center, and it's an appropriate use. So I'll vote yes.
It's an appropriate use with the conditions of planning and zoning and the findings. I vote yes.
And the findings of planning and zoning, and I think it's very much needed. I vote yes. 4-0. It passes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is conditional use number 1899 filed on behalf of Richard M. Ingram. And again, the title to the proposed ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 16 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4.01 acres, more or less. Mr. Mike?
Before I start, is the applicant present, Mr. Ingram?
No.
I didn't see him.
Doesn't look good.
Is there any other parties interested in this public hearing? Two parties in the front. Mr. Ingram, I got a recommendation of denial. He was present with the commission on the 9th and understands that he was rejected, but he also understood that he had a public hearing today.
Since we do have folks here that wish to speak, let's ask. Well, let me ask first, just so it's clear. Mr. Ingram is not here.
No.
Let the record show he's not here. Is anyone here in favor of this application? There appearing to be none. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Folks, if you want to come up and speak, now's your opportunity.
Maybe I better read the title first.
Is that you, Calvin?
I think I did.
Did you read it?
Yeah, I read it. I introduced it and read the title. So,
should I summarize first?
Go ahead, I guess.
Typically, if the applicant is not present, the council has the right to reject the application for lack of a record.
Right.
Just for the record, since you read the introduction, the applicant is proposing to develop four buildings with four units each on a four-acre parcel. We heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department. We did receive a note from Timothy and Rebecca Myers in opposition to the application. Mr. Ingram was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support. There were six parties present in opposition to the application. The commission did defer action on May 26th of 2011. It was deferred for further consideration to allow Mr. Johnson to participate in the discussion and the decision if he so chooses. On June 9th of 2011, Mr. Smith moved that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1899 for Richard M. Ingram for the following reasons. One, the applicant did not address the relevant criteria contained in the zoning code for granting a conditional use for multifamily dwelling structures. Two, the applicant was unable to describe the proposed conditional use or the individual dwellings in sufficient detail to justify granting the requested conditional use. Three, in general, there is not a sufficient record that was made in support of granting the conditional use at all. Four multiple parties appeared in opposition to the proposed conditional use, expressing concerns about the current condition of the property, the method of wastewater treatment for all the proposed multifamily dwelling units, water supply for the proposed units, and other concerns. The applicant did not adequately address any of these points during his presentation. Five, there were no similar multifamily dwelling structures in the vicinity of this site. The surrounding properties are all single-family homes on subdivided lots. There was a motion and a second carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Johnson abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing. The one thing that was caught some attention, I believe, is that these four buildings are all 28 by 52, and they were going to be, and they're single story, and they were two bedroom with a kitchen living combo and a bathroom, and those units would be basically 13 by 28.
Like a motel room
mm-hmm. size. That was a concern. I assumed they were probably two or three stories mm-hmm. based on the size of the structure. So when I asked the question, and Mr. Ingram responded that they were single story. So the math just told me there were four units and they were small. And his intent was to use them for starting out professionals, nurses, police officers, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was there during the hearing. He heard the opposition. He also heard the recommendation of the commission that I read.
Mm-hmm.
On the 9th, he also heard it.
Sir, well, you've heard the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation, and also the applicant's not here to make a record. Since you folks are here, I wanted to give you an opportunity to state your reasons why you oppose it. So, and if you could give your name first, too.
Okay. Name is Calvin Butler. I live at 28447 Martins Farm Road, Milton, Delaware. 19968. Our property connects with Mr. Ingram's property. Number one, he has a dwelling on the property where he has rented out. Okay, we have experienced the increasing traffic. Also, I think some of the tenants that he had before, the jobs that they had, they would have to drive home large trucks sometimes with trailers on back. It would like you would pull a lowboy or something like this. The traffic increase just with that one dwelling. I know it's going to increase if they get more dwellings back there. Number two, the people that owned the property before he purchased it, we gave them permission to hook partial fence to our fence. Okay. When Mr. Ingham took it over by carrying these large vehicles in and out, they struck the part that was connected to ours. Okay, they kind of bent it over and whatnot. I'm pretty sure it weakened ours, but I'm concerned about if the traffic increases, what we're going to have back there, what kind of vehicles going to be going back for us in and out there, what kind of damage you may do to the property. We are about, my fence is about 20 feet from his driveway where it goes back to the property, okay? From my fence to my deck is about 32, 38 feet, okay? So we're looking only about maybe 59 feet from his driveway to my deck. And I'm concerned about that. Concerned about, we've had problems all along in surrounding areas. And it's been good. We kind of like the law's been helping and getting a lot of the problems out of there. You put something like this back in our neighborhood, we don't know what it's going to increase, what we're going to bring back into our neighborhood. We got children in the neighborhood and stuff like that. Don't need to be involved in. Not saying it's going to happen, but it can happen if you get the wrong people in there. I'm not against someone trying to maybe increase the business or do whatever. It's no personal thing, but I'm concerned about what effect it's going to have on our community. We already have a little small problem, which Mr. Ingham and I, we haven't worked it out. He told me he would, but it has not happened yet. On my fence, there are some trees and different things that goes over my fence on my side of the property. On, I left my fence in all the way around, so when I cut my grass, I trim my yard, I can go on the other side of the fence, I can trim it. I can only go so far, and I can't get no further because of what he has growing on that property. So if I got a small problem now, what I'm going to have later on. I thank you for hearing me. This is my concern.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else wish to speak?
I took a look at the area, and I have to say the Butler's home is beautiful. It's well kept. It is very nice.
My name is good afternoon. My name is Estelle Butler of 2844 Martin's Farm Road, Milton, Delaware. And now, as I, you know, was speaking before when I was up here, you know, I'm just concerned about the traffic. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be like 24/7, and it's bad trying to rest. And when you have traffic coming, I delaying day and night. And with people, residents back there and visitors, they have visitors all hours of night, I'm pretty sure. Or, you know, I don't know, I just don't feel safe, I'm sorry. But that's the way I feel, I don't feel safe. Right now, I feel comfortable where we're at. But I oppose, and I thank you for listening.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else who wish to speak in opposition to this application? Appearing that there's none, I would recommend closing the public hearing. And I would suggest in this case that there be a motion for denial
right. Based
upon the recommendation of planning and zoning and for failure of the applicant to make a record before the council.
I'll make a motion.
Let me read the ordinance
okay. First
just real
right.
quick. Sorry,
sure.
I jumped the gun on that. But, mm-hmm. It's conditional use number 18999 filed on behalf of Richard M. Ingram. The title being an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 16 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4.01 acres, more or less.
We traditionally make the motion in the affirmative at planning or at county council, so maybe we better continue that.
Right.
Mr. Wilson, if you want to have somebody make the motion in the affirmative.
I will move that we approve conditional use 1899.
Second.
Now, Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I can't vote yes on this one. I go along with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and specifically for the same reasons that they gave, I vote against it.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote no, because the applicant failed to show and put anything on the record to support his application, and I support Planning and Zoning's recommendations.
I'll vote no because of lack of a record.
I vote no because of the applicant didn't have enough interest to be here. So I vote no. 4-0. Opposed.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. That one is denied. The next item on this afternoon's agenda is conditional use number 1897, filed on behalf of Russell V. Banks. And the title of the ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR-1 agricultural residential district for a dirt borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 31.02 acres, more or less.
Yes, thank you. For benefit of council, I just passed down copies of the exhibit booklet that was provided to the commission and an addendum that was provided earlier today by the applicant's representatives. On May 26th of 2011, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application. An exhibit book that was provided, as I just stated, was provided for the council. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department. We had received 40 letters, emails, and petitions in support of the application. We'd also received, I believe, 268 letters, emails, and petitions, signatures in opposition to the application. The report of the commission summarizes both the support letters and petitions and also the opposition letters and petitions. Russell Banks was present with Heidi Gilmore, attorney with Tunnel Razor Professional Association. Frank Key, land planner, and Jason Palkowitz, a professional engineer with Solutions IPEM, and all gave testimony. And the report includes several pages of testimony on their behalf. The Robert Thornton, a local builder developer, was present in support. Ted Stevens, local builder, was also present in support. There were 8 parties that spoke of the 18 parties present in opposition and gave testimony. And again, there were several pages of testimony summarized on that opposition scale. Mrs. Timmons submitted her comments on behalf of the 259 signers of petitions in opposition. Mrs. Vella submitted comments on behalf of 21 residents of White's Neck Village and West Ocean Farm, in opposition. And Mr. Hudson submitted a letter on behalf of himself and his wife in opposition. And Elaine McKinnon submitted a letter in opposition. By show of hands, there were 6 parties present in support, 18 parties in opposition. On May 26th, the commission did defer action for further consideration and to allow Mr. Johnson to participate in the discussion and the decision if he so chooses. On June 9th of 2011, the commission again discussed the application of rural business and again did defer action for further consideration. So we do not yet have a recommendation from the commission on this application. I also have larger scale drawings if you choose to review them. They're the same drawings that are in the booklet, which is probably easier to read as far as the size. And I will add, I've received some additional letters and petitions. And if my counting is correct, I counted them each twice. We had 221 letters or petition signatures in support. We also had 287 signatures either by letter or petition signatures in opposition. I do note that there were a couple duplications, but I didn't try to check them all to see how many were duplicated, because a couple of letter writers also signed petitions. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Well, maybe we can get into this when they come testify. I don't see any entrance off this road.
The entrance is proposed, and it'll be off of Orange Lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it is off Orange Lane.
Where it's intended.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that'll be part of the presentation.
Okay, sure.
Any other questions for Mr. Lang? There's none. Gilmore?
Yes. Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. For the record, my name is Heidi Gilmore. I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor, and I'm here to represent the applicant for conditional use 1897, Mr. Russell V. Banks. He's an owner of the property, and he's here with us today. We also have present with me Solutions Integrated Planning, Engineering, and Management, Mr. Frank Key and Mr. Jason Palkowitz. So we'll be presenting to you the information that's in the project booklet that was submitted to Planning and Zoning, as well as to answer questions. I do have that was submitted to me after this morning, but before the hearing, additional letters in support of, and I have 21, if I could pass those in.
You can hand those to Mr. Mike if you'd like.
Thank you.
Okay. Just for clarity of the presentation, I'd just like to note that there appeared to be a little bit of confusion on the size of the parcel that is the subject of the application, if I could just point to the board. The borrow pit area is limited to a smaller section of the total site, and Mr. Banks also owns other property around it. But the total area is much larger, it's 104 acres. So what we are going to be discussing in the application is 31 acres of that larger parcel. It's not the entire parcel that's incorporated into the plan. I think that created some confusion because it's near Old Mill Road, as opposed to Irons Lane. So just wanted to point that out. Part of that has led, in my opinion, to when I reviewed the county file, some people on the opposition had changed their mind because, to quote one of the letters, we were misled as to the location. So we are questioning the validity of some of the signers on the petition about whether or not they really had the correct information. So at Planning and Zoning, we invited people to come forward to actually see where it was and to see it was actually tucked in to the parcel. And so you'll hear in my presentation that it's actually shielded from view. It's not on the road. And it led my client to address that more openly with their neighbors, and they changed their opposition. So some of the petition letters that you have, they signed the opposition, but then they reversed and signed in support of. So just wanted to point that out. But we're going to be providing and reviewing expert testimony prepared in support of our request. One of the items that we noted at the time of the planning and zoning, much of the information presented by the opposition really didn't have any expert testimony to go along with it, and just wanted to address that they didn't have that support to their opposition. So for purposes of the application, the proposed site area is 31.02 acres, which lies within the interior of the 104-acre parcel that's owned by the applicant. Having said that, we're requesting a borrow pit for just that 31.02 acres. The pit would be a total of 17 acres, not taking the full 31. It would not be an industrial site or an industrial use. It would be 1,700 feet from Irons Lane. It would be 505 feet from Old Mill, which is on the lower section. And it's 950 feet from the nearest off-site dwelling. And the land is currently zoned AR1. And is located along Irons Lane and Old Mill Road. And, of course, I said the applicant owns other tracts of land. He also lives to the southerly side of Old Mill Road, contiguous to this parcel. My client proposes to operate the borrow pit within the naturally buffered area. And you'll see that there's trees all around this. They're coming to the site. There's trees all around that shield it from view. That's why I said it's nestled into that naturally buffered area. We believe that will naturally shield it from view from the road as well as shielding it from noise. Mr. Banks is a local farmer. He was born and raised in Sussex County, and his family has a long history of living, farming, and working in Sussex County for over 100 years. His family farming operations predate much of the current activity in this area before the subdivisions were even created. So he and his family use the land now for farming where the borrow pit is as well as the land around it. He plants corn, soybeans, and hay on the limited site area, and he'll continue to do that until the site operations take the whole area. As with many farmers, in order to survive economically, they have other businesses. He's not just a farmer. He also has a licensed construction business where he provides demolition and dirt hauling services. Mr. Banks and his family have another respected business, Banks Liquors. You might be familiar with that on Route 26. He also has other business income from properties that he rents. So you can see his extensive connections with the local community as well as providing services to the area. Just for familiarity, farming is difficult work. I know it because I grew up on a dairy farm myself on the Eastern Shore. But the area where Mr. Banks' property is located is still mostly agricultural. We believe the borrow pit is much like farming operations. You're turning dirt for the farm, you're turning dirt for the borrow pit. And it's no different than activities that have long existed in this area. We would like to state that we have no intentions of creating a sand and gravel pit. We're only extracting the dirt from the ground. That's it. No dredging operations either. We acknowledge there's public concern whenever there's an application for a borrow pit, and we've taken extensive measures to investigate and address all possible adverse concerns environmentally with traffic, and with visibility of the site operations. My client's operation is proposed to function by having area businesses contact the borrow pit for dirt. Some of those businesses would be home builders, contractors, plumbers, bulkheading companies, landscapers, or just general homeowners. And much of the letters in support in your file are from businesses just like that, and those present in support of it, planning and zoning, stated there was a need for that. So they would order it, they'd come to the borrow pit, and they would take it to the site destination where the dirt is to be used. There are other borrow pits approved in the area. So many of those have ceased operations or are nearing completion. Just a few of those, there is a reference in the project booklet to area borrow pits, and you can see those on the plan. Two state borrow pits near Ellis Point are no longer in use. There was a large borrow pit operated where there is now the seagrass plantation, and they now use that as their stormwater pond. There's actually an old inactive borrow pit to the north of where our borrow pit is proposed. You'll see that the black dot right above the line. In the course of my client's demolition and dirt hauling services, he requires materials such as soil to fill his services. At the current time, he borrows soil from another borrow pit in the area. And many of the letters in support indicate, as I said, a need. to provide similar soils. And that was, I think, a key point for me in hearing the letters of support for Clarksville, Ocean View, Bethany area businesses. They need soils that are similar to the soils where it's intended to be deposited. So there are other borrow pits. There's Selbyville. There's Georgetown, the Stokely Center. But those soils might not be compatible with that area. So many businesses also find it's too far to travel and it's too costly with gas prices and wear and tear on the vehicles to go far away. So we believe this site is an appropriate site for a borrow pit if approved by the county. And we've prepared and submitted at PNZ a proposed list of finding of facts and conditions. And I'm just going to summarize a few of those for you. Just to state for the comprehensive plan, we are a low-density area. The strategies for state policies and spending identify this as an investment level 3. With the conditions imposed, the conditional use will be designed in accordance with the Sussex County Code. I would like to note we've met all the criteria according to the code to be an approved borrow pit. The proposed conditional use is consistent with the trends of uses in the area. As I said, there's been a historical pattern of borrow pits in the area, and it's no different than other activities that have existed there. The conditional use will comply with all use regulations required by law, including buffers, setbacks, and use regulations. The conditional use will fulfill a need, as I said, the letters of support. The location of the conditional use east of Iron Lane provides convenient and safe access. And Ms. Deaver, as your question was, the access would be off of Iron's Lane to the site following the green line that's there.
All right.
When we originally took this matter to PLUS, we didn't have to go, but we went anyway. We had originally proposed it coming off of Old Mill Road, and they preferred coming off of Irons Lane. So the engineers will talk about that as well.
So they wanted the road widened, didn't they?
It's a 50-foot road that we're proposing.
Mm-hmm.
So the applicant would install the entrance and the 50-foot road leading back to the borrow pit.
Would do that?
That's what we're. That's in the conditions that we've proposed.
Oh, for Irons Lane? I'm jumping ahead of myself.
No,
from Irons,
from Irons Lane to the borrow pit.
Oh.
You're thinking of Irons Lane. No,
yeah, I'm thinking of Irons Lane.
This is their pit. Their
road.
The developer will be responsible, as I said, for the construction of that 50-foot access easement leading from the entrance to the borrow pit, and we would be based on the recommendations of DLDOT and following those. There was no traffic impact study required. And as the engineers are going to address, we propose or anticipate around 15 to 18 trips per day to the site, and that's based on current averages plus some extra. And they'll go through that when the engineers come up. But as I said earlier, the borrow pit is isolated and integrated into the existing terrain, so it's naturally buffered. There will be no obvious borrow operations visible from Irons Lane or Old Mill that would negatively affect the area. It would be the borrow pit site will be limited to the proposed isolated portion. And as for objectionable features, they're going to be kind of tucked away into that natural landscape and by the additional buffer that will be installed. The wetlands located on the site will not be affected. There's no historical or natural features on the site. The PLUS comments indicate there are no grave sites there. You would have in your packet the letter from Hardin and Knight, which indicate the soils are appropriate for the use as a borrow pit. And there's also an additional letter from Master Consulting PA that identifies that the potential for pollution or of surface water or groundwater will be avoided, and we're going to follow all the sediment and stormwater controls using best management practices. Area property values, we believe, will not be decreased because the scale of the land area that we're proposing is much less than the wider area, so it's going to be well buffered. The conditional use will not have a negative impact on the area. We've documented economic benefits by having area businesses be able to have an increased value in their services by staying local. And the same trucks that Mr. Banks currently uses for his operations will be just coming to this borrow site rather than the other one in the local area. He's already hauling dirt from the other local borrow pit, I'll just remind you. He's only proposing 4 seasonal employees, and so there wouldn't be too many extra trips for employees. The conditional use is compatible with other area land uses, It's no different than the farming operations that are already there. And the subject property is situated in investment level 3, and the proposed site plan is in the compliance with the county's land use plan. And as I said earlier, we meet all the criteria. For the additional conditions that we propose, the site plan would be reviewed by planning and zoning. The hours of operations would be Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 7 to 5, and no Sunday hours. As for security, they're going to have a gate at the entrance to the site so that there wouldn't be access to the site when the hours of operation are closed. And we don't believe there's any additional security issues because we're so far away from the road. There would be no need for lighting of the site operations area, so that is a condition we would agree to. One sign is requested at the entrance to the site just for directional purposes so people are clear where to access. And for traffic flow, as I said, there's the easement. And we would follow the entrance requirements as required by DLDOT and according to the timing that they propose. There would be no site preparation or site disturbance or excavation until all permits are obtained. No materials can be brought from off-site to the property for processing, mixing, or other similar purposes. No materials can be stored on any access road or the buffer areas. There would be no stumps, branches, or debris buried on the site. And then some of the standard requirements for borrow pits. There is the buffer that we're going to comply with and having the water truck there to control dust if needed. And we would operate in two phases. So the first part of the phase would be the upper portion of the pond. That's phase one, and then they would move into phase two. The phases are divided by a natural hedgerow that's there, so it's adding an additional buffer from Old Mill as well. The applicant would operate the borrow pit using mechanical means. And then one of the other standard conditions for borrow pits is that it's reviewed every 5 years after the start of digging. And then there is a phase one done after 20 years with DNREC. And the maximum time frame would be the 40 years. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Key and Mr. Palkowitz, and he can address some additional items.
I have a question about those trees.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about trees outside of the site would be a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't make that a condition.
Well, there's trees still within this site because the larger area that's here, there's still mm-hmm. the trees there.
Yes, a buffer there and a buffer there.
Yeah, and this is the entire portion.
It's all, okay, I see there. Uh-huh. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Mr. Banks still owns lands contiguous, so he's not intending to remove any trees.
Mm-hmm. Right, but we...
At all. I understand.
I understand.
But the trees that are on the site, he's not intending to disturb you, so they're going to stay natural.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he has an entrance off of Old Mill Road, doesn't he?
Currently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll turn that over to Mr.
Okay.
Mr. Key, before you begin, I just wanted to follow up Ms. Deaver's questions to clarify. Mr. Lank, is the entire, I'll call it the rectangle where the borrow pit's shown, is it in the entire site that's identified as the conditional use?
And the easement.
And the easement, okay.
Right.
So it's not just limited to just the surrounding areas right
the
around
the easement was incorporated.
The whole thing is all the whole 30 acres.
What's outlined basically, well, Mr. Key, if you want to.
Yes, it's. I'm Frank
that
Key.
That helps with the conditions you're asking about.
Okay.
With Solutions IPEM here in Georgetown, I'm a licensed landscape architect in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. The actual conditional use is surrounded. You'll mm-hmm. see that you have the picture in a smaller version, mm-hmm. I think, in your packet. It's the green line around that immediate area, and then it sort of forms a point right there.
Yeah. That's it.
The
that's
104-acre parcel is this larger parcel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Banks also owns this property and this adjacent property. There, in addition to the existing trees that surround this, there's also a detail on the preliminary site plan for additional buffering that I'll explain. And that's what the little cross sections are for.
So just so I can clarify, so the entire site's 30 acres.
Mm-hmm.
The actual area covered by the borrow pit, I think, is approximately 17 acres. Mm-hmm. But the entire conditional use is the entire 30 acres.
Okay.
Yeah, the water body, I believe it was said, was actually 17 acres.
Correct.
Whereby the rest, the other part of the 31 is buffering and mm-hmm. land reserve for non-disturbance.
You have fields on the one side, on the old mill side, and forest on the Irons Lane, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's an existing ditch here that mm-hmm. we have a setback of 50 feet from. Okay. So there's no impact to it, and it's buffered, and it's like a hedgerow along the ditch as well. Mm-hmm. There's a woodland, obviously, here. This one was just covered by the supplemental landscaping and berm that we're proposing. Additionally, in this area here, when the second phase begins and you break through the hedgerow that runs across the site right here, then we will add the berm and supplementary landscaping there as well. So there's always a buffer in place.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that kind of, I was going to go over location, but that kind of covers it. That's why it's placed where it's placed. Furthermore, other than the one hedgerow that between phase one and phase two, there's no disturbance of existing trees to access the site or build the borrow pit. Everything is in the field. As far as environmental issues, surface water runoff, groundwater, possible well disturbance, we have materials in the book, but the bottom line is we're building a berm around the entire facility as we go. That berm also gets landscaped, but its purpose is to contain the surface runoff, so there will be no runoff from this pit. What happens is the water that falls on it stays in. Any water that drains from the material as it's picked up and put on the side to dry drains back into the pit. So essentially it fills up with water. It's like building a storm pond, you know, or an ornamental pond of any kind. It just takes more time, and the dirt is removed from the site. At the end of the facility, the underwater benches will be put in place, and the 40-foot access around the actual excavation will be reduced to put that subaqueous berm in. And it'll be revegetated as he moves out of the facility. In addition, there's no proposed pumping of groundwater. There's no reason to remove the water. In fact, we want to contain it and keep it in there. So there's no reason to move it out. Because there's no pumping of groundwater, there's no impact to wells or groundwater levels, with the exception of a minor impact that has to do with evaporation. And you'll see in the Mazur study that we have, there's a very specific calculation as to transport of water in moist materials that Jason will cover, as well as evaporation. And in the end, the drawdown is only, it's less than a foot in the immediate area of the pit. When you get outside the pit, it reduces to zero. As far as traffic is concerned, we had three contacts with DLDOT. The first contact was, of course, the service level evaluation request, which the county has. But to summarize, I'll read from the DLDOT letter to Mr. Lank. We do not recommend that a typical traffic impact study be done. The subject land is 106, they thought, acres, but traffic volumes in the area are relatively light, and we would not expect the borrow pit to generate enough traffic to create congestion. Therefore, a TIS analyzing levels of service in the area is not necessary. That's our initial contact. We later went to PLUS. The same results occurred in PLUS. There was no requirement for it. The third was a meeting with John Fiore of DLDOT to discuss the entrance requirements themselves. And Ms. Gilmore made reference to a preference on the part of DLDOT for having the entrance located on Irons Lane. That's true. It was a multifaceted discussion, though. We had proposed it on Old Mill because it was a shorter distance out. One of the requirements that they had, if we put it on Old Mill, was that the road be topped from where we showed the entrance, which was right down here at the edge of this tree lane, to Irons Lane. Their preference was expressed not about the topping of the road or Irons Lane, but rather that Irons Lane was a more direct access to Route 26 so that the trucks get out and they have less turns to make and so forth. That was really the extent of the preference. At the end of the discussion, the improvements associated with the entrance were limited to strictly an improvement of the pavement in the immediate access point of the drive onto Irons Lane.
Mm-hmm.
The way we generated 15 to 18 trips, there is no guidance in the engineer's trip generation manual around these uses. So we took his peak, Mr. Banks' peak year, which was 546 loads of dirt, and effectively we tripled it. and then we averaged it over the days that he would operate, and that was 15 to 18 trips. So it's possible that at a day in the summer, you know, on a seasonal day, that it could be more than 18 trips. But on other days, it'll be far less to zero. So that's how we arrived at those numbers. As far as the preliminary land use service is concerned, they asked a couple of questions about wetlands, made a couple of useful suggestions to us. There are state mapped non-tidal wetlands, and you can see them as a part of your book. They're not on here, but they're not in the site that we're proposing the use in. So there's no impact to wetlands whatsoever. Where we came even near a ditch, we put a 50-foot buffer there. At this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over, unless you have questions of me, to Mr. Palkowitz to discuss the statement of compliance with.
Help me understand something. There would be an entrance off of Irons Lane, but the other entrance would be closed off. Are you proposing just one entrance for the property?
We're proposing.
And gated?
Yes, we're proposing just one gated entrance to access the borrow pit. The other is his farm access to his adjacent farm field. It'll stay, but only for his farm operation.
But it won't serve the borrow pit.
Correct.
Okay, it doesn't go through to the borrow pit?
Cruise by it, but it doesn't.
No, the borrow pit operation will not access directly Old Mill Road.
Okay, good. Okay.
Mr. Key, can I ask one question just to clarify the chronology of something? In the DelDOT letter, after what you quoted, there was a statement that they're concerned about truck traffic, and that they recommend the county require the applicant to provide DelDOT with additional information pertaining to trip generation and trip distribution before we make recommendations about any entrance requirements. That was November 3rd. I think from what you're saying is then you had the PLUS meetings and the meetings with DelDOT, which responded to those concerns. I just want to make sure that we understand chronologically.
Yes, thank you. That is correct.
Okay.
This letter was the service level evaluation that we submitted to the county that went to them. Then, of course, we went to PLUS, and then later met with John Fiore. And there's an email in the package that demonstrates the specific requirements that they have of us that followed that. So that was the long answer to say yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear because that could be misleading if somebody just read that letter.
DelDOT's studies don't make a distinction between trucks and cars. They just talk about traffic.
That's correct.
So we're not sure what it is. It could be trucks or cars or whatever, right?
That's correct. Now, we generated our 15 to 18 trips by combining the tripling of his truckloads plus his four employees. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did DelDOT say something about Old Mill Road if he were to have an entrance? They didn't want him to use that Old Mill Road as an entrance, right? Unless he did improvements to Old Mill Road? Was that the case?
Yes, he had two alternatives, basically. Mm-hmm. He could have entered where we originally proposed it, on Old Mill Road.
Right.
It was a shorter distance to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their concern was, number one, that it wasn't as direct an outlet to Route 26.
Right, I understand.
But number two, they simply said, if you choose to go there, you need to retop the road from where you enter it to Irons Lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what.
But they didn't tell you you had to go to the other Irons Lane entrance.
No,
you made that choice.
We made the choice based on the fact that they preferred it as direct access to 26.
They put in writing somewhere that they preferred you to come out on Irons Lane, you're saying, or are they just in conversations and stuff?
In the meeting that we had with John Fiore, that came out.
Okay, all right.
Any other questions for Mr. Key?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask the engineer now. I was just curious. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Jason Palkowitz, and I'm with Solutions IPM, and I'm a licensed engineer in the state of Delaware. And I'm going to touch base on a couple things. Number one, at the P&Z meeting, a reference was made to the Mine Safety and Health Administration, being that we follow the regulations on that. We did some research into that, and a borrow pit is actually covered by OSHA. If we were doing a processing materials, we would fall under the Mine Safety Administration. So we just want to make a clarification on that.
For a little bit of background, there was a question raised on a prior borrow pit. The applicant had proposed conditions that include the Mine Safety Administration requirements, and so the question came up as to whether those would also apply on this borrow pit. So that's what Mr. Palkowitz is referring to. It doesn't, from what he's saying, does not apply in this case.
Yes. And then I'm going to touch base on the special requirements for borrow pits as referenced in the zoning code. I'll go through them fairly quickly, but if you want to follow along, they're on page 2 in the book. First one is talks about material being brought from off-site. The proposed borrow pit does not propose to transport material from off-site for on-site processing. And furthermore, as previously referenced, we have a letter from a geotech stating that the materials, based on the findings of the boring location, the subsurface sands appear satisfactory for use as excavated borrow fill, provided the natural moisture, content of the materials are dried. So in other words, we're going to use the material on site and it's suitable for borrow and we're going to haul it off site. The second item talks about protecting the surrounding properties with regard to odor, dust, air, and water pollution. We provided all the buffers previously referenced, and the berm, as previously referenced, is going to basically serve like a sediment trap in a subdivision. The first thing you do is you're going to construct that berm, and as previously discussed, water that rains on it will stay on site. Furthermore, there's a letter that we have from Mazur Consulting, and they're hydrogeologists. And the summary is basically because the borrow operation will not include large-scale dredging or dewatering, no significant water table drawdown impacts are expected. Based on calculations for evaporative and excavation water losses, the drawdown impact immediately adjacent to the borrow pit is calculated to be less than 1 foot. Therefore, no significant or adverse drawdown impact will occur nearby domestic wells. Because the borrow pit will be operated and completed with a berm that isolates surface water runoff, no aquifer water quality impacts are expected from either the proposed operation or the eventual pond. Isolated from surface water impacts, the pond will develop its own biological community with its own nutrient balance and is, therefore, not expected to contribute any significant nutrient loading to the groundwater flow. In addition, the groundwater flow system will provide effective filtering of microbial particulates that might originate from pond within a few feet of the pond. And again, that's from Mazur Consulting, Thomas Dwyer. So we have no impact or negligible impact on the surrounding water.
How deep is this pit going to be? Are you
we're anticipating about 25 feet deep.
25 is all? That's all?
Do you mind that? Is there any problem with that being a condition? I'm looking at you now, Heidi. I don't know if he makes that decision. Okay. 25 feet?
Yeah, that's okay. What we've referenced in the reports.
Okay.
In fact, in that letter, it references
where's the water table? How deep is the water table?
According to maps, it's about 4 feet down. According to the test pits, about 10 feet down.
So you will enter into the aqua. You'll break into the aqua.
Correct.
And it was stated in the record of the commission hearing, based on a question, that there would be no dredging operation on the site.
Correct.
It would all be mechanically removed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question.
Not dredged.
This doesn't really affect us, but it would affect the site. Does OSHA oversee any kind of safety, or in other words, preventing children from being able to get into that? Does OSHA have to do with that? Does it regulate that kind of thing?
I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but I don't believe so, because they talk about occupational safety, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
All right.
Continuing on, we talked about the location of the excavation in respect to property lines. One of the issues that was brought up in the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting was buffer from 200 feet from properties, existing homes, and there is no home within 200 feet of the site currently, but a request was made that if somebody wanted to build a home within 200 feet of the property, would they be able to? So we were amenable to adjusting the shape of the pond so that the excavation would be 200 feet from a potential dwelling. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to put a house here within their setbacks, they'd still be at least 200 feet away. So we're amenable to adjusting the shape of that pond to accommodate that. Regarding the excavation and safety, I believe it was mentioned earlier that there's a 40-foot work area around the pond. Upon completion, we're going to take that and put in a safety bench.
Uh-huh.
take 10 feet of that and drop it down so that, you know, your question regarding safety, it'll be like a stormwater pond, a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. but it'll have your safety bench above and below the water, because you'll have a flat 30 feet, and you go down below, and you'll be out 10 feet into the water. I touched base on it that we are more at least 200 feet from existing dwellings. In fact, we're more than 900 feet from the existing dwellings. And the last item is number 6. Basically, a site plan will have to be submitted for a commission, and of course, we'll prepare a final site plan. With that, I think that touched everything. Thank you.
So I still don't know. There's no fencing around it to keep children out, though, if I understand this correctly. Is there no fencing around it to keep children out?
At this point, there's no fence proposed.
Uh-huh. Okay, I see.
Like any other stormwater management pond or golf course pond or ornamental
pond.
This
is going to be 25 feet.
Many of them are, and mm-hmm. some of them are deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have it in the sides tiered and sloped in a way that would prevent an accidental drowning by someone falling in?
Yes, it has. The first 30 feet is above water. That's a flat bench. Then it goes down at 3-on-1, and then you have a 10-foot bench. That's 1 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to wade out into it for a bit before you could.
Right.
Can't just slip in and go under.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Well, let me ask first, does that conclude the applicant's presentation?
I do have a question, maybe Mr. Key. Is the aquifer any of the water that you hit, or is the aquifer actually deeper than the groundwater that you first encounter it
for? Well, there's the unconfined aquifer that's in the first, I'm going to guess in this area, probably about 70 feet.
70.
Yeah. And so that unconfined aquifer, old wells are using it, and, you know. Then there's a clay layer, and then below that is a more confined aquifer. And I believe the Columbia aquifer is the unconfined. And then, and I'm not a hydrogeologist, but I've, you know, done this once or twice. And I think the Minocan aquifer is below that, and it's usually 300 feet deep. All the public water wells usually go down to the Minocan or so, unless they go deep into the Columbia. But we're sufficiently distanced from any nearby water well that we can't have any impact on them.
And that's all pretty well defined in the Mazur letter, too. So it's pretty.
Yeah, the Mazur report is actually a complete hydrogeological report. We just talked about the conclusions that they came to, but the reasoning around these things are clarified there.
Well, surrounding areas, the residential areas, they're served by Tidewater or some public water supplier? Are they?
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
Some of them are on wells?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the nearest residence is 665 feet away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're far, far distant from any impact on a water well. And in terms of pollutants in groundwater, there's no storage of oils or fuels or anything like that proposed on the site either, in terms of potentials for spill into the you know, the pit.
Any other questions from council for the applicant and its witnesses? Mr. Key,
Frank sits down. Wait. There was on that corner, there was a proposed subdivision a few years back. What is the status of that? That's gone?
Yes. That's long gone and over, and this
expired. Has it expired?
Not only is it expired, but the property belongs to Mr. Banks.
I know, I understand, but it was a proposed. Is that an expired?
It was proposed RPC. It was never approved.
Never approved.
Not approved.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was a joint application with what, with the Bay Forest application.
Which is what, across the street?
Correct.
Right there.
To the east, right?
Yeah, Bay Forest.
Is there any other approved subdivisions on that map that haven't started yet?
I don't think so, George. Not in that photo.
Not in that photo. Mm-hmm.
I didn't find any on. You can go into Plus and look at everything around it. We didn't find any there either.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Key? Okay, Mr. Key, if you'll take a seat. With that, we'll see if there's any parties here present in support of this application this afternoon. We'll start with the gentleman. Well, The gentleman in the purple, if you'd come up.
Good evening or good afternoon. My name is Tim Doyle, 35129 Glen Eagles Court, Dagsburg, Delaware, basically known as the Cripple Creek Fairway Villas Property Owners Association. This issue was brought to my attention in an email from our homeowners association, which basically forwarded an email from the Bay Colony Homeowners Association, basically trying to gather up support against Mr. Banks and his property. And the first thing I wanted to do is to make sure it was clear that they did not speak for all property owners, and I'm not even sure if it was voted as a board or if it was just board members that were petitioning this. But I want to make it clear that many of us that live over there are huge believers in private property rights. This is my first visit to a council, and I'm actually appalled at what a gentleman has to do something relatively simple on property that he owns. His family's probably owned for hundreds of years, and yet we who now live in the area over the last 20 years or so are now going to tell Mr. Banks or whomever what they can do with their property. I think it's appalling. I look at what he's spending for lawyers and engineers and whatever to build to dig dirt on his property. It's
pretty so you think people should be able to do anything with their land at any time, any place, anywhere? Is that kind of what you're saying? Okay.
No,
okay.
That's not what I'm saying. But right. I think we should at least err in his favor on this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's all right. I just find it.
Everybody will get a chance to speak.
Yeah, but I'd rather err that way than what he has to go through, actually. The other thing that I'd like to address is that Mr. Banks has lived there, and I don't know this man from Adam. I do not know the Banks family at all, except I frequent the liquor store every now and then. The Banks have lived there forever. I'm glad Mr. Banks didn't get up 30 years ago when Donald Wilgus was proposing Cripple Creek or when Jack Hickman was proposing Bay Colony. He should have fought it, because all he created is an army trying to tell him now what he can do, now that we're here, the NIMBYs, as it were. So I just want him to know that a couple dump trucks will not affect me. I'll make my tea time 5 minutes earlier, and the other Cripple Creek members can leave 5 minutes earlier for their tea time. I have children. I want them to ride their bikes on the roads. I understand a dump truck can be dangerous, but more dangerous is telling a gentleman what he can and cannot do with his own property, which is a reasonable request, Mr. Cole. I think it's reasonable, and I think we should err to the private property rights instead of those that don't want to be inconvenienced by dump trucks. And one final statement is, I believe these trucks, these commercial vehicles, pay an inordinate amount of registration taxes, gasoline taxes, all these things. That will pay for the damage to the roads that the property owners in the surrounding area who are fighting this are concerned with. He's paying the taxes just like we all are. And I'm sure Mr. Banks isn't liking the 100 or 1,000 vehicles that goes by his property every day. I think we can all, that we created by living in Cripple Creek or Bay Colony or having a golf course there. And I think we can then be flexible to deal with 15 or 18 dump trucks.
Does your house front the road that will be traveled by the trucks?
I drive Irons Lane every day to get out of Cripple
Creek.
Your
house?
My house is in the development.
It's inside the development, so you wouldn't be bothered by the truck traffic then?
No, not at all. Most people opposing this are not. There's very few homes on that property, on Irons Lane. Mm-hmm. I can think of maybe a dozen or so. Thank you for your time.
We have a copy of Mr. Duell's letter by fax for the record in opposition or in support. Excuse me.
If we could have the next person, and maybe if everybody could just kind of line up a little bit. I don't know. There was several hands up in favor and support of this application. Who was the next person that wished to speak? Anyone? Anyone?
I think there was a count.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, and we're going to take a count, a show of hands. I just want to make clear, does anybody else want to speak in favor of this application? Apparently there's none. We'll take a show of hands. Can we see hands from folks who are here in support of this application?
One hand.
Oh, we got a battery.
I got 13.
Yeah, I got 13 as well. Okay. We have 13. Alex had 13 as well. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? And again, if there's a spokesperson or somebody representing a group, we'd ask that person to give. Okay, well, you're the first one in line, so come on up, sir. If you could give your name and residence again for the record.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Charles Byerly, 31500 Norman Lee Court, Dagsboro, Delaware, 19939. I have lived at this residence for 34 years, and I do live on that road and mentioned on 348. And also, this is my first appearance at the county council. I'm here today to ask you to deny Mr. Banks' request for conditional use. I believe that Route 348 is not wide enough to handle the additional truck traffic. There are no bicycle paths or sidewalks. Most of the road has a small ditch on both sides. If you are following a pedestrian or a bicyclist and meet oncoming traffic, you must slow down because there is no room to pass. Irons Lane, as it's called by the locals, is a heavily used artery. During the tourist season, it becomes more congested and creates many problems at Route 26 and County Route 348, trying to make a left or a right turn onto Route 26. My biggest concern is for the school children as they try to get on and off school buses. There are 9 buses that uses Route 348 each day that school is in session. There are 4 buses in the morning, 1 kindergarten bus before noon, and 4 buses in the afternoon. One bus has to turn around, it stops on the road, backs into Wingate Court, and goes back the way it came. When this happens, all traffic must stop because the road is not wide enough to turn. Because of these reasons, I feel that safety is one of the most important issues that the council needs to consider in making your decision. Thank you very much for allowing citizens to voice their opinions.
Would you like to submit your comments into the record?
Sure, they're part of it. Thank you, sir.
Is his name on that petition? I didn't get his last name.
I think it was Charles Riley.
Byerly.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
B.
My apologies. Next person. Thank you, sir. Come on up, and if you would give your name and residence for the record. Thank you. I'll make sure that's part of the record.
My name is Richard Hudson. I live on 34621 Atlantic Avenue, Ocean View. It's kind of misconceiving. I own the corner where Irons Lane comes out on Route 26. As a note, I'd like to make it clear that my wife and I are not against a person trying to make a living from his land anyway, as long as he does not endanger someone, devalue another's property, or disturb his neighbors. However, we do have some concerns about opening up a borrow pit on Irons Lane. First, this operation would create a traffic nightmare. DelDOT said there's no reason to have a traffic study. Our concerns are due to the safety of trucks traveling up and down Irons Lane and traffic backups when they are trying to enter onto Route 26. It is not uncommon to have 5 or 8 vehicles waiting up to 5 minutes to cross traffic to make a left turn onto Route 26. The traffic problem increases when the Atlantic Thrift Community Store is open, since they have 2 entrances on Route 26 that are extremely close to the intersection. Because of these factors, there are numerous accidents at this intersection. We are already in negotiation with DelDOT for a right turn lane through our property to help traffic merge on the Route 26. As far as I know, there are no traffic lights in the provision for the Route 26 reconstruction at this time. Since its intersection is already prone to accidents, we feel that the increased commercial traffic has the potential to greatly increase the number of accidents. Especially during the summertime, it's unbelievable. We're at the store, we hear the squeal of tires, we hear the bump, and we dial 911. Secondly, approximately 1,000 feet from this intersection on Irons Lane, there is a family-run daycare operation. Small children are getting on and off school buses at least 3 times a day. Higher traffic on Irons Lane would create a much more dangerous situation for these children. Thirdly, if you look at the road surface on Irons Lane, you will see that there are numerous small craft cracks in the pavement already. These cracks are due to the fact that there is no base under the road. Irons Lane was not designated for heavy traffic when it was first built. It has only a tar and chip base with 3 inches of asphalt for a top surface. This surface is not holding up under the present usage. What will it do when the truck traffic is tripled, quadrupled, or whatever? Also note that the right-of-way on this road is only a 40-foot right-of-way for this road, with a paved surface of 20 feet. There are no shoulders for pedestrians or bicycles. When you consider that some trucks are 96 inches wide, I'm not counting the mirrors, there's not much room for mistakes. Therefore, I submit that you do not grant this conditional use at this time, or until such measures have been made to correct these safety concerns and improvements have been made to the roadway itself. Thank you.
Thank you,
did he give his address?
This
doesn't have it here.
Yeah, you're right. Sir, if you could give your address for the record. Thank you. I think you did. You sort of stated the location, but not...
Okay.
34621 Atlantic Avenue.
Okay.
That's the corner of Irons Lane 26.
Thanks, sir. The next speaker, please.
My name is Susan Timmons, and I live right on Irons Lane, and I, too, am almost a native. I've lived in the house where I am for 36 years. I grew up in this area, moved here when I was 15 months old. This is by no means a personal attack on Mr. Banks. I grew up with him, graduated with his brother, taught two of his children in school, but I am very, very concerned about this proposed pit. I stand before you representing the 264 signatures that we turned in on the petition against this pit. It's been brought to our attention that there may be a conflict of interest with one council member who does business with Mr. Banks. We would like the county council attorney to please advise the council with a possible conflict of interest that he would recuse himself. Irons Lane is already an unsafe road for dump trucks or any large vehicle. The width of the blacktop is just 20 feet, and there are no shoulders. Bicyclists, walkers, school children, joggers are already at risk on these roads. The addition of numerous commercial dump trucks traversing these roads will make a hazardous situation truly dangerous. Additional dump trucks would put them in harm's way. In addition, there is one daycare provider, as was mentioned. As an added note, when my husband was walking my daughter's lab on the side of the road, a car driven by an unsafe speed hit the dog and killed it. The car was driving so fast, the dog was thrown in the air, and this was a lab, a big lab, and into the ditch. The driver did not even stop. Many vehicles drive this fast. All of you are welcome to come sit on my porch, which faces Irons Lane, and just look at the traffic and the speed with which these vehicles travel. The intersection of Holt's Landing Road and Irons Lane has had 8 accidents in the last few years and necessitated the state putting in a 4-way stop. This is still a very busy and unsafe intersection. These intersections are not designed to handle a large number of commercial dump trucks. The very nature of dump trucks with their bulk, width, and 60 to 80,000 pound weight when fully loaded would pose a danger to 4,000 pound cars on the road. An accident involving a car and a dump truck would be highly more likely and lethal with the increased traffic. During the spring and fall, Irons Lane is traversed by many tractors with large plows and discs behind. They often take up much of the 20-foot road. Many of the cars have to pull over to let the equipment by. Imagine one of these meeting a dump truck. Where would the dump truck pull over? My husband and I alone have had 4 vehicles come into our yard and hit trees over the years. Knowingly adding a fleet of commercial dump trucks to the current mix of cars, tractors, pedestrians, school children, elderly drivers, and beachgoers would be highly imprudent. Irons Lane is almost exclusively residential, and the addition of a dirt borrow pit would be detrimental to property interest and value. many of the homeowners enter and exit their property on Irons Lane. A fully loaded truck may have difficulty stopping abruptly. I found this to be true myself when I stopped at the intersection of 26 and Irons Lane, and a dump truck had to swerve into Mr. Hudson's property to avoid hitting me in the back. You have approved subdivision after subdivision on this road and the surrounding area, and so by doing so, we feel you have deemed it a residential area. Irons Lane's already in poor shape. There's a culvert under the road by my house that must be broken somewhere underneath the pavement because the dirt keeps eroding. I contacted DelDOT. They came and did a temporary fix but did not repair the problem. Part of the blacktop is broken. At this point, the road is only 19 and a half feet wide. This is just one culvert with problems. How many more are there on Irons Lane? There's a time and a place for everything. So, too, is the establishment and demise of burrow pits. There's an existing operational burrow pit within 0.4 miles from the proposed pit. This existing pit was placed into service over 30 years ago before the area was built up with new subdivisions. Tens of thousands of new residences, a golf course, country club, and all of which were approved by County Council. The road network remains the same width without shoulders. The reason for the original burrow pit of 30-plus years were valid then, but certainly are not valid for an additional pit. Circumstances of the area in question have drastically changed, and the need and validity for an additional burrow pit. In short, another burrow pit with such close proximity to an existing one is not necessary, compatible, or feasible with the existing area and the road network. Where is the need for an additional burrow pit? There are two existing ones, one 0.4 mile away and one less than 3 miles southwest of the proposed pit. In addition, there are two inactive pits within 0.2 miles from the proposed pit. The Hickman Borrow Pit on Irons Lane recently requested and was granted by Council an enhancement to its original zoning. How can there be reclamation of the old borrow pits if new ones keep being approved? The two inactive pits have never been cleaned up. We don't believe a compelling need has been made to warrant the construction of an additional pit in an established, growing residential area. It is our understanding that Mr. Banks requested that the entrance and exit, and this was discussed before, be on Old Mill Road, and he did not want to pay for the pavement to be put on Irons Lane, or on Old Mill. Doesn't this sound like the petitioner trying to put his profits on the backs of county and state taxpayers to avoid his personal cost? Irons Lane is far more dangerous for an entrance and exit and also much more heavily traveled. How can this be considered? It cannot be safe for dump trucks to enter a 20-foot wide road. How would these heavy trucks be able to travel safely on this land in either dry or wet conditions? It's just a farm field as he comes from his pit to Irons Lane. How can he make a commercial road if he's not applied for rezoning of this piece of property? It's not a package deal. Only one parcel, not both parcels, have been part of the conditional use, or as that is our understanding. Additionally, Holt's Landing State Park is located just to the north of the proposed pit. The roads that serve the park are the same roads that serve the dirt borrow pit. Holt's Landing State Park is noted for its peaceful setting, the wildlife living there, and the only public crabbing pier on the Delaware and Lynn Bays. A fleet of dump trucks is not compatible with its setting and would diminish the experience of park visitors. The water pollution impact of a dirt borrow pit so close to the Indian River Bay is unknown and should be better understood before considering this proposal. The ditches that border the property proposed for this pit empty into Blackwater Creek, which is classified as navigable water. The silt and runoff from the pit alone could be a real hazard to the wildlife and vegetation in and around the creek. We realize that precautions will be taken to try to avoid this, but we all know that stormwater can cause runoff into ditches. It was stated in the presentation to planning and zoning that a berm would be built to control the runoff. All this does is direct the flow of water. According to an environmental expert that I talked to from Widener University, this water needs to go into a detention basin to settle. If not, it could go directly into the ditches and then run directly into Blackwater Creek and ultimately into Indian River. There are significant health concerns with the effects of a dirt bar or pit. What will be the effects on the groundwater? Many of us don't have tide water, don't have central water. I have a well, as do many of the others. We're also concerned about the dust. If he's traveling from his dirt bar or pit across that field to Irons Lane, in conditions like we have today, how much dust is just going to be created by those trucks alone traveling across that field? A few more additional questions. Has a study been done to evaluate the traffic and load impacts on the roads involved? Has anyone done a study to put the environmental impact of a dirt bar or pit in a residential area and the nearby inland bays? What will be the impact of this bar or pit on all the intersections involved? Bay Colony was required to have a 60-foot right-of-way for entrance to their development, and Cripple Creek roads had to have 30 feet wide paved roads. How can DelDOT allow Irons Lane to be just 20 feet wide and an entrance and exit to this pit onto that road? With the work to be done on the widening of 26 and the closure of sections of the road at a time, won't the additional dump truck traffic cause more safety concern? One business close to Irons Lane in the Route 26 intersection was told they'd be closed for a three-month period. Back roads are going to be the main roads traveled. Pulse Landing Road's already been found to be a major bypass for vacationers trying to avoid Route 26. This in itself is going to be a major problem. Can more traffic problems be added to this potential nightmare for locals and vacationers? We, the signers of the petition, ask that you deny this request for rezoning for conditional use. Look at Mr. Banks's record. Has he abided by the previous issues he's had with the county? Did he clean up the areas he was told to clean up, or did he clean them up and then start dumping again? Did he just clean up one 5 to 8 year old issue last week? Is he now using residential property beside his house for commercial use? There are huge stockpiles of dirt, stone, ground wood chips on that property, as well as large gasoline or diesel tanks. I can hear the activity from my house from this piece of land. We hear stump grinders, we hear dump trucks, and we hear things being loaded and unloaded. Is this where he'll be storing the fuel for operation of the burrow pit? This property is next to a major ditch that empties into Blackwater Creek. Who is to say he will follow the rules and regulations of having a dirt burrow pit? Can you consider anything without DENREC and the county assuring you that the rules are going to be followed by the applicant? We don't think you can. If for some reason you approve this conditional use for Mr. Banks, all conditions set by the county, by DENREC, and those proposed by the engineers need to be written into the permit in detail. Some kind of policing by the county needs to be done on a routine basis so he can be stopped if he does not follow the stipulations by the county. Mr. Banks's past record should make this necessary. Please consider the above questions and say, no, Mr. Banks, you were denied this request. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And the petition was already made a part of the record from planning and zoning.
And there is a question on the amount. I had counted 259, and the planning and zoning, this nice man said there were 264. So in this letter, I put 264 because I figure he's got more education
and
maybe can count better than I can.
I don't think law school
does. I counted twice today and I got different numbers.
Thank you. One statement, because there was a reference to conditions, and for the benefit of the audience, on any conditional use, that if it's approved, The county code has specific requirements that are imposed. So if it's approved, I don't know what council's going to do. There would automatically be conditions imposed based on what's in the county code. And in addition, Planning and Zoning and County Council have established a fairly lengthy list of conditions that have developed with regard to borrow pits in the past. So I just didn't want this lady or anybody here to think that it would just be an approval with nothing more. So if that's the desire of council, and again, I don't know what they're going to do. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak in opposition to the application? I got a big board in the way I can't see. Gentlemen, or sir, if you would come forward. And if you could give your name and, again, place of residence for the record.
Raymond Banks, 18098, excuse me, Old Furnace Road. I'm not a public speaker, so I'd just like to turn this in.
Thank you, sir, and that'll be.
Would you like him to read it for you? So, yeah, okay.
You want me to read it?
Okay, read it.
Absolutely. Well, it says, I am Raymond L. Banks III, of course that means this gentleman, and I am opposed to this proposed borrow pit being adjacent to my property on Irons Lane Road. As a matter of fact, I did not receive any kind of notification about this proposed hearing. After retiring, I plan to have a retirement home on this property so that I could be closer to my daughter and my three grandchildren. I have three lots designated for these three grandchildren, so on behalf of them, I would like to express these concerns. One, the safety issues of living on a road where it would not be safe to walk, jog, bike, ride, drive, etc., because of constantly sharing the road with commercial dump trucks. Two, constantly having noise pollution such as banging buckets, bulldozers, loader engines, trucks, and beeper horns. Three, air pollution based upon flying debris and blowing dust around the borrow pit, as well as from commercial dump trucks moving down the road. Four, the possibility of water contamination to the neighboring lot water wells. Can you assure me that my grandchildren's water will be safe in the years to come? Five, what will happen to the property values of these three lots once a borrow pit is right next door? In the next school year, there will be three different school buses picking up my grandchildren directly from Irons Lane Road. I am very concerned with the safety of these children as well as the safety of all children on this road. Let me ask you this. Would you want your grandchildren living on this road? Since the change of property by the will being contested and a settlement agreement being forced upon me, deeds have not been issued to Russell Banks, David Banks, or myself, so technically how can this really be done? Also, during the settlement hearing, this land was supposed to be obtained in order to keep it as a family farming endeavor for Russell and David Banks. If it was so important for them to keep the heritage of the family farm, why do they want to ruin it by creating a borrow pit? How can this land supposedly in Russell Banks and David Banks' names be rezoned in Russell Banks' name only? Thank you for your time. I would greatly appreciate your vote against this proposal. And again, that will be made part of the record.
So is it a question about title? Is that what it is?
Do you see anything in there as an attorney that should be of concern?
No, I don't really see anything that the county should have a concern about, simply because if there's a dispute among individuals, that's between them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really affect land use decisions.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. If you could come forward and give your name and place of residence for the record.
Yes, my name is Deb Thornton. I live at 30437 Holtz Landing Road, Dagsboro, Delaware. We have been here for about 7 years at that location. Like was said by Mrs. Timmons, she really told everything that we feel. I didn't know about the meeting until yesterday. And the other situation is 15 to 18 dump trucks. That's a lot of dumping. And we have a beautiful area back there where we live on an acre lot, and it's just so quiet and pristine that you can really enjoy an evening. The other question that I have or concern is, first of all, 7 to 7. That is not banker hours. 7 to 7. School buses, 7 to 7. People coming home from work or going to work. We all know that we live in a very, very delicate area as far as nature, so I won't go into that. But nature also is our kids, and the kids that go up and down Irons Lane, like was said before, they just don't have a berm that can be used for riding your bike or anything like that. Even if I go down a little bit past Holt's Landing Road, there's nothing there that provides protection. So, but the 7-7 really bothers me. First of all, we don't have a stoplight, signal light out there at Axe and Hudson's General Store either. And we really do need one. Do you know how many neighborhoods are back there? We have about 9 neighborhoods that are back from the stop sign on Irons Lane. And even if they are just weekend warriors, they're still there. They still need to get out. And the traffic is getting worse and worse and worse. And 7-7, I am not going to want to sit on my back sun porch and listen to dump trucks. And I could hear them from where I live. Thank you very much.
Can I get your last name, please?
Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Come on up, sir. If you could give your name and place of residence for the record.
My name is Michael Cuzzo, and I live at 31194 West Ocean Drive in Dagsboro. And so far, I've heard a lot of people focusing on what's going to happen to them individually, but I would also like to remind everyone here that Bethany Beach is a beach town, and some places just shouldn't be industrialized. The amount of people that could be affected by a ripple effect by changing the atmosphere around here could really cause a lot of people money, so that certain people can get rich and other people will lose their job. And I think that should be taken into consideration, because with employment down the way it is now, we really don't want to send people to Rehoboth Beach or Ocean City, because this is a really nice town. It's what attracted me. I used to work in Washington, D.C., and I just wanted to get away from it all. And Bethany Beach really showed me something. I'd just like to see it stay that way for a long time. Thank you.
Could I get your spelling, your last name, please?
It's C-U-O-Z-Z-O.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Oh, ma'am, come on up. Yep, you right in the front row.
Good afternoon. My name is Dawn Cuzzo. I live at 31194 West Ocean Drive in Dagsboro. That's the West Ocean Farms. My main concern is the small roads with no sidewalks, no lights. I have gone just with rain off the side of Irons Lane, just by the rain. I have a note from Ruth Fellow, who came to the last meeting. She is the owner of the Omega Real Estate School. She sent me an email, she wasn't able to come here today, that said the price of homes are falling approximately 42%. She's also said that, and I agree with her, they are bringing in city water and sewer from Old Mill Road down to the other homes, which is going to, not only where they're widening Route 26, then all this extra traffic on the small Irons Lane, we're going to have traffic also on Old Mill Road. So around our whole area, it's going to be nothing but trucks. These roads already have potholes. They're small. And like I said, I've slid off the roads just in rain. I can't imagine trucks coming with children and everyone playing. So my main point is the safety of the children, safety of the residents, and our pursuit of happiness. This is not in the best interest of this residential area. We've lived there 3 years, and it has grown tremendously in just those 3 years. So unless they're going to start building highways around this area, there is no need for extra trucks and extra businesses. And I'm just not sure. I heard some words that were vague about guarantees. They don't expect any problems. I have a problem with OSHA. I mean, I want to know who is going to supervise us and make sure that this area is kept up to code if it is approved. And I wish and pray that it will not be approved. Thank you.
Just to answer the one question about guarantees, the code does give the Planning and Zoning Commission the ability to recommend to County Council that performance guarantees be required for any replenishment. And that's not the right word, but when they
reclamation.
Go back. Reclamation. Thank you, Mr. Cole.
You're welcome.
How many times should they do that?
Well, it depends on how the approval goes and phasing plans. If it's, and I'm, again, not suggesting it's approved, but if it's approved, they would have to come back in with site plans that would show the phasing plans for the excavation and the reclamation plans, and then the county may get a recommendation from Planning and Zoning to impose performance guarantees to make sure all that's done. So they'd have to come up with bonds or other things to ensure that that work's done. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Come on up, ma'am, and if you could give your name and place of residence for the record. Thanks. I sent a copy. All right. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Elaine McKinnon. I live at 35658 Manadu Lane, Dagsboro, Delaware, which is located right here on this farm. I have a it says lifetime use of home and pasture. That's mine. I have, my husband and I have racehorses, standard racehorses. We have two brood mares. They will be using this pasture. I have eight grandchildren. The oldest two are seven, and the youngest one is 1 year old today. I am in opposition of this borough pit. This area, when we were growing up, my grandfather owned this land. When we were growing up, this area was mostly agricultural area. Over the years, of course, it has become developed great deal in the last few years. When you go from a transition from a predominantly agricultural area to the more upscale residential communities with golf clubs, etc., the expectations of the people who live there are different possibly than the people who have and lived an entirely agricultural lifestyle. The appearances and the style of life that they want to have is different. When you own farmland and you sell your farmland to developers, then you cannot you have to realize that you have to make some adjustments. When you use that proceeds from selling that land to buy businesses, which is very good to do that, to buy a liquor store, pet store, car washes, whatnot, which benefit from the increased population of these developments. You want the people to come in, but then again, you want them to use your business. In exchange for that, you have to realize that you have to take in consideration what their desires are and what their expectations are for this area. Okay? If you would vote to approve this application for this borough pit, how would it affect Russell? It would allow him to expand his business into more of a retail dirt business. How would it affect the people who are against it, the majority of the residents who live there? How would it affect them if you would approve it? It could have a negative impact on the road surfaces, their property values, and the residential appeal of the White's Neck area. For many of the residents who live in this area, I have talked to quite a few in the different developments. This is their home, is all that they have. That's it. They have put their lifetime savings into moving to this area because it's a nice area. So they have put their lifetime savings there. They have bought a home knowing that, yes, they will have the seasonal problems, the inconvenience of tractors, combines, grain trailers, and the occasional smell of chicken manure. But they did not expect for
a non-agricultural use, which would be a burrow pit, to come into their mix, which would potentially not only decrease the value of their property, but also decrease what they expect, the lifestyle that they expect to have, and for their children. If you would deny the burrow pit, what would happen? Russell would not be allowed to expand his dirt business in the way that he is going now. He would still be able to farm that land, but he would also, there are other solutions he could have to his problem of expanding his dirt business, which I have a couple solutions for him possible. It would also give, if you would deny the application, it would give the residents of the White's Neck area the confidence to plan for their future, what they're going to do for their homes. Their property values would not be negatively impacted by the commercial industrial borrow pit. They would have a confidence to know that their area would become a safe, peaceful, attractive, it would continue to be a safe, peaceful, attractive area to live. There are very few farms left in the White's Neck area. My brothers own the majority of the farmland that's left. This is becoming an upscale group of communities, which is nice. It's nice neighbors. A couple solutions that I have for Russell to expand his business would be either to lease or buy existing inactive or active borrow pits in the area, especially those that are south of Route 26. Melvin Joseph's on Burbage Road. My grandfather had in his estate, there's still a burrow pit there. He could buy that from the family on Powell Farm Road. Ruth Turner's daughter has put in an application at Planning and Zoning last week, but she had to postpone it, to convert her land to a burrow pit on Powell Farm Road. He could also, I do not know who owns the land that is on Old Mill Road, south of Old Mill Road, east of White's Neck Road, across from Bay Forest Community. If you're not familiar with the area, there are huge hills. I would call them hills because Delaware only has wrinkles. They have huge hills of dirt piled there. Now, it would be neighborly and helpful if Russ could buy that dirt and use it. It would clean up that area, which would make it more attractive because that is an eyesore there. That would make that more attractive. Millville by the Sea, I saw, had a letter in support of this application because they want to continue, they want to build out their properties that they have purchased for development. It's a very large development, south of 26, both sides of Route 17. They are not doing that much developing there yet, but when they do, would it not be advantageous for the community and for all the people who drive on the roads if he could use the dirt off his own community out of Millville by the Sea to make either one large lake or several small lakes or ponds and use that dirt? He knows Russell. He had wrote a letter in favor of Russell having a burrow pit. Possibly Russell could do all the work right on site. And that would not have any impact on area roads. And besides, Millville by the Sea might become a little bit more by the sea if it had their own lake. One,
talking about the developer or residents of Millville?
It's a community called Millville by the Sea.
Developer is the one that's...
She's talking about.
Okay.
A lot of the letters that were in favor of this petition were businesses, developers and businesses and whatnot.
Okay.
Now, my concern is that I am pro-property rights. There comes a time when one resident's property rights... one resident's property rights should not be allowed to supersede hundreds of people's property rights. They have rights too. because Russell owns more land does not make his right more important than someone who owns a third or a quarter or a half an acre or a townhouse or a condo. One resident should not be allowed to expand one of his businesses at the expense of hundreds of his neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Mr. Wilson, I don't see anybody.
I don't see anyone else.
Unless there's a desire of the commission to hold the record open, we still need to have planning and zoning recommendations as well.
Okay. You're going to get a show of hands being asked for support.
That's true.
You're opposition.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Lang. If we could have a show of hands for those folks that are here in opposition to this application.
Now, remember, this was the attorney that couldn't count a little earlier.
He always says he's an attorney, not a mathematician.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just have 17. What did you have?
19.
Heidi, do you want to double check?
I have 16.
Get?
Sure. Okay.
I've got a
you
bad
trust
angle.
Him.
Okay.
No, I had 19 that time.
I told Mr. Timmett I didn't couldn't count anyway, but, you know, 19.
Well, you'll close the public record?
Yes, unless there's any desire to keep the record open for anything, I think we should close the public hearing based upon the testimony and the evidence that's been submitted.
I understand it. DelDOT's asking for a turnoff off of Irons Lane. Was there something in here about that that I didn't see?
I think there's the letter, November 3, 2010, which is sort of the first DelDOT event. And mm-hmm. then, as I was looking at the book, I think it's tab 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's an email from John Fiore that sort of proposes two options, saying that both entrances are permitted. One will would require a hot mix overlay mm-hmm. along County Road 349
right.
to the intersection, and over the second, which is an entrance permitted along County Road 348, in which an overlay or along County Road 348 shall be required of just the entrance limits.
So there would be no way if a truck was trying to turn in, there'd be no way to pass the truck if you're behind it. You'd have to wait for the truck to get in.
I don't want to say for certain because this is
sometimes they widen the roads right. and put another lane in. I don't know if that was called for or not.
This doesn't say that that's called for, but this is also sort of a preliminary email just
mm-hmm.
outlining the two
okay.
routes that would be permitted. Certainly, if it's approved, DelDOT's going to get a bite out of it, and they're going to require a total mm-hmm. design of the entrance, and
okay.
that's probably where it would be more formalized.
Large, they referenced the number of communities down at the end of Irons Lane that go up and down Irons Lane. What is the, like you got Bay Colony, Cripple Creek? I mean, ballpark, I mean, you're looking.
Bay Colony.
How many hundred, you know, lots of property?
Grass, Preserve at Irons Landing. There's a one next to.
The Greens.
I can't think of it. What's one next door to that?
Is it the Greens?
Is it Mallard? It used to be Mallard Cove or Mallard.
Mallard Lake?
No.
Mallard Lakes?
Right next to the seagrass. There's another one.
Seagrass, that's what it was.
There's the Greens at Indian River, Cripple Creek Golf and Country Club, and the condos. Iron Acres is about a 10 or 12 lot subdivision, something of that nature. And you have the bar pits of Hickman and Justice and the intersection that goes to Holt Landing.
But there's quite a bit of lots out there. I mean, when you add up all those subdivisions, there's
it's substantial.
Couple thousand.
Several hundred. I don't know about 1,000, but it's close. It's up there.
I don't know. When you add them all up?
I'll give you the actual number.
Okay.
We're going to argue about numbers all day.
Okay. That's all right. It's quite a bit. Okay.
Can I move you to defer this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to, yes.
We have to.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to defer. Mr. Wilson, if you want to ask for a vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Defer.
George?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Vincent?
he's invisible.
He's not here. Sam, I'm sorry.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Board defers.
For the benefit of the folks here, it'll be deferred until such time as Planning and Zoning makes a recommendation. Then at some point after that, it'll be put back on an agenda for consideration under old business. Thank you, and I believe that concludes all the hearings for this afternoon. You can entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn. George, second that.
George.
Adjourn.
So moved. Yeah.
Second. Call for the vote.
Call for the vote.
We have to take a vote.
No?
Yes, yes.
George?
Yes. Yes.
I vote yes. This passed. We're going home.
Thank you.
All right.